Reporter Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson has been covering Afghanistan for NPR since 2006. Recently, she was awarded the prestigious Peabody Award for Excellence in Journalism. Speaking of Nelson, the Peabody Committee said, "No reporter in any medium gives us a better sense of the variety of life inside Afghanistan than the multilingual chief of NPR's Kabul Bureau." And Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson is here in our studios. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
First off, let's get a little bit of the news from Afghanistan. And right now, the conversation has been about President Hamid Karzai and kind of getting into hot water with the Obama administration. The White House has expressed concerns over remarks he's made recently, expressing sympathy for the Taliban, let's say. And I want you to give us a sense of how delicate this relationship is between the U.S. and Hamid Karzai.
Well, this level of tension has sort of gone on behind the scenes for many years, but it definitely is very open and overt now at a time that's very critical for both the U.S. and Afghanistan. I mean, we're in the preparation phase, as it were, for perhaps the biggest offensive that's going to take place in Afghanistan in Kandahar province. So having this sort of rhetoric going on in the open is very detrimental to both sides, frankly. It's very clear that we're not very sure about how to move forward with this, and it's also very clear that President Karzai is incredibly frustrated with what he sees as a lack of support on the Western side for his agenda.
Now, you spent a lot of time with U.S. forces and troops specifically. What's their morale like, and do they think that things are getting better?
Well, the troops that I've been with, I mean, it's amazing how resilient they are. They really do work in some of the most difficult circumstances. Afghanistan has very harsh weather, but they remain amazingly vigilant. I don't think they really think that much about some of this rhetoric and political questions, although I'm sure it raises some questions for them because they are fighting such tough battles. For example, in February when they took over Marja, this district, very volatile Taliban stronghold in southern Helmand province, they lost a number of troops taking that place. And so it raises the question, I'm sure, you know, what are we doing here?
I want to play a clip from a story of yours. And this one is about the U.S. military's attempts to engage the Afghan population using female officers, female allied source officers.
These Afghan boys noticed something very different about a group of U.S. Marines walking through the village of Khwaji Jamal on a recent afternoon. The Marines have colorful headscarves peeking out from under their helmets. Plus, they don't wear sunglasses like Western men here often do.
America.
One boy asks a Marine a question in Pashto. She replies that she's American. The Afghans laugh. They realize the Marine they are talking to is a woman.
Now, you've covered women who are Marines. You've covered the culture of women in Afghanistan. What is it like for you as a woman reporter? When is that helpful? When is it not so helpful when you're in the field?
Well, the benefit is certainly that I'm able to talk to a part of the Afghan population that my male colleagues never can, and that is the women in general. I mean, I'll give you an example of in Kandahar province, a dear friend of mine, he's a Westerner there, one of the few Westerners who actually lives in the economy. He's been very close friends with a gentleman who's now on the provincial council there. And for years, he's never been able to meet his wife. And yet, the first time I went to Kandahar province and met with this gentleman, he right away invited me into his home to meet with his wife and, you know, with his family and extended family. And all these women just sort of flocked out. They were so starved for attention. They were very interested in meeting in someone who was from a different culture or who came from a different place. The detriment comes in where you're seen as a woman, and that sort of defines you, and not necessarily in a positive way, because women do not really fulfill any kind of meaningful political or social engagement with the male part of the population. It's just very difficult for men to sort of relate to you as a woman. They constantly think of you as a woman rather than as a person. At the same time, I mean, you go into these remote areas, whether it's in the north or the east or the south, and people are also fascinated by the fact that you are a woman who is traveling without another man, you know, without a man present, you know. And then someone once commented to me, well, that's because you are a man. And I was like, well, no, I'm not a man. I'm a woman. But, you know, women can do without men. And then I tried to relate to them on their own culture. I'm like, tell me that you don't tell your men what to do behind closed doors. And
but is that a sort of a pass for foreign women is to liken you to a man, essentially?
Yes, basically. And in fact, some of my colleagues have made a career out of dressing in men's clothes, Afghan men's clothes, when they go out. Oh. I don't do that. I mean, I'm a woman, and again, you know, in my case, I speak Farsi, which is one of the languages, or Dari, they call it there. It's very similar. And so I don't feel like trying to dress in men's clothes to sort of make a point. That really works for me. For me, it's more just trying to engage them on a person-to-person level and just sort of explain to them, you know, that I am a woman, but in our culture, it's okay for women to, like, have jobs like the one I do, and that my husband, quote-unquote, allows me to do it, you know, that sort of thing. So,
but that's interesting that even now female reporters from outside the country would feel that need, that, you know, maybe if you're getting dressed up, that would help, that people are still kind of struggling to figure it out.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the culture, and we're not even talking about Taliban-era mentality. This is something that goes back many hundreds of years that has never changed in Afghanistan, and that is not going to change with our presence there or with Mr. Karzai's government or anything else. I mean, it's just going to take time for women to sort of, and I think education, quite frankly, for women to achieve a level where they have some more equality with men.
With the Peabody Committee, they recognize the full scope of your work. And I'm wondering if there is a story somewhere in the back of your mind that never really got the kind of attention you think it deserved. Not a story of yours, but a story in Afghanistan that you think, I really wish more people were paying attention to this particular topic.
There's so many. It's very difficult, especially with the pace of the news, which is picking up, to really be able to focus on the social fabric that is Afghanistan. I mean, the children there, I mean, for example, it's very hard for me as a parent to watch this, but at age 2 or 3, most Afghan children will be helping the family in some way make their livelihood, whether it's tending sheep or whether it's just anything. I mean, they're out on the streets, you know, by themselves. I mean, here we don't even let our 8- or 9-year-olds wander out on the street because we're so worried something might happen to them. And there, they're just sort of, from the beginning, helping the family produce food, money, income. And so I think if we understand Afghan society better, then perhaps we can come up with a solution for some of the great issues that we face there now.
Because right now the imagery is quite limited to the battlefield or to the decision makers. Soraya Sahardi-Nelson is NPR's bureau chief in Afghanistan and a 2009 Peabody Award winner. She joined us in our studios in Washington. Soraya, thank you.
You're welcome.